If you look there in verse 1, you will see that David already has his heart in a very good position because he obviously has a burden to bring glory to the Lord. He says here, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Remember those in the book of Haggai who had their sealed houses, as it were, and while there's nothing wrong with having a nice house at all, the context there in Haggai shows us that there was very, very little concern or commitment to the going forward and the strengthening of the work of the Lord. People were taken up with their own interests, really, and they didn't have that interest that they needed to have. The Lord spoke to them through that in Haggai there, and he did stir their hearts, and they turned, and they came and they worked, and they had a great time of blessing with the Lord working among them. But David here in verse 1, his heart is greatly burdened, and he has a desire to follow the Lord. And it's strange, folks, that whenever you have that desire to do something, and you mean it, that the Lord can organize circumstances, that there's always little prompters along the way to help you. In verse 2, Nathan says to him, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. That would be a good motto text for you and I to hold on to in 23, when you have already got one, but you could hold on to this one as well. And in fact, that is a good one to remember. Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And certainly at our week of prayer, we were encouraging one another with that. Some people with many, many, many difficulties in the work and places, some of the places just really, really hard. And yet the Lord is there. And he's promised to bless his word. You'll see there in verse 3, it says, and it came to pass the same night. It's not an amazing thing. When we tune our hearts and we say, right, Lord, I know I'm sitting here comfortable, but what about the Lord's work? It doesn't matter where people are thankful or not. That is not the issue at all. They're not thankful when we go out with the gospel and we have special meetings to invite them in. They don't want to come. The fact is, it's God's word, and he has it in his word that we share it. And not he doesn't say that, you know, everybody's going to receive it well, but we have to share it. But when you and I are motivated, like David here, we have a burden, we see or are reminded that the Lord is with us. It says it came to pass the same night. The Lord will not wait until June or July to be with us if we did endeavor to do something for him. And I'd want to encourage all of us individually to take on board what those verses say. And maybe if you're a little bit cast down, or someone listening in on sermon audio and you are a little bit discouraged, well, do take on board what those verses say, verses 1 through 3. But you'll see there in verse 8, it says, I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked. You look back in 22, if we followed after the Lord, may have struggled sometimes, but if we followed after the Lord, he has been with us. If we have wallowed in sin, we can't expect him to bless sin. But we know that if whithersoever we have walked, if we walked in fellowship with him, he has been there. That's a good prompter to walk with him again during this year. And the Lord is continuing to encourage David now. In verse 10 he says, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. Good to have the promises of God to go forward with. And you will see in verse 12, he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. David wasn't going to build the house, as you know. Solomon was. But wasn't this a great way for David to finish his race? And to know that the Lord had promised, well, I'm not going to build it for you, David, but your son. Would not be a great thing if we knew when we're gone that revival was coming for the younger people today? And it's good to be able to hold on to the promises of God. So you can see the build-up here. And it all began with a burden that David had in the first verse of the chapter there. And Nathan came along and he spoke to David very carefully and faithfully. And then we come to verse 16. And David the king came and sat for the Lord. Now, I'm not sure exactly everything that was in his mind at that time, but suffice to say that he came to the Lord, first of all, with thanksgiving. He came to the Lord with need. But brethren and sisters, he knew that he needed to come and sit before the Lord. He was the king. He had any amount of things to see to by way of administration and discipline and all of those things. But now he came and sat before the Lord. And you're not too long, and I'm not too long into 2023. And you, especially, I'm referring to ladies in the house, especially if there's children there or grandchildren, you know what it is to be hurrying around. And it seems to be that you would need another day in the week. You're hurrying around, you're working and doing what you can. And that is the same in all of our houses, certainly where there are boys and girls. But folks, this was a very deliberate act. And David the king came and sat before the Lord, where it says there that he came and sat. He made a point of it. It didn't just happen. But rather, it was a very conscious, very deliberate act to get to the feet of the Lord. And in 23, with all the hurrying, and all the working, and all the things that need to be done, the one thing that we need to do more than anything else is to get to the feet of the Lord. To get before him and to bring our needs. And I'm speaking to a couple of different ones that are involved in the missionary work. Some who are going out to the mission field. I'm speaking to them during the week. And they are very aware that when they go to the field, with the best heart in the world, that it would be easy for people at home to forget about them. And they're going out to wait somewhere else in the world, and they're depending upon me coming and sitting before the Lord for them and holding the ropes in that way. But even besides our missionary work, and that is vitally important, we never want to forget them. We have to sit before the Lord for our personal growth. We have to sit before the Lord for our families. There's a man many years ago preaching, and I was there. I wasn't long saved. And he was at a loved one's funeral. And he stood there and he was brokenhearted because he thought, you know, the person didn't leave any profession of faith. They weren't young, but they didn't leave any profession of faith. And he said to himself, he said, "There's absolutely nothing that I can do now. There's nothing that I can do for them. But I've got other ones. And I will do all that I can to see them saved." And that's a long time ago now. And to this day, he is still doing all that he can. And the most important part of his entire ministry is sitting before the Lord for them and bringing them. So we have personal contacts, relatives, friends, we must sit before the Lord for them. We must do that. The Lord can, the wind bloweth where it listeth, the Bible says. We don't know where God's going to work, who is going to be saved next, what the Lord is going to do in families, how he can save whole families, but we believe that he can do all of that. The way in his word is to call unto me and I will answer thee. You need to sit and ask him. Come and sit before him. Personal needs, need in the family, God's presence and power in preaching. Some of the works in the mainland are extremely hard at the moment. But God can still be there in the preaching of his word. And as the word goes forth with power, that is what the Lord can use. What about, again, to go back to our missionaries and ask for God's hand to be upon them in preserving them? Just a few weeks ago, I don't know where I read this, but someone had said, if you feel burdened just in your heart, wherever you are, something comes into your mind about someone you know or some part of the Lord's work, and you feel burdened to pray for it, pray for it right away. Even if you're in the field on the tractor, just ask the Lord for that, because there's a story of this man one night, and he wakened up in the middle of the night, and when he wakened up, he found himself thinking about a missionary that they had known and they had been, of course, praying for. And immediately, when he wakened up in the middle of the night, he just asked the Lord to preserve them and to meet their need, but especially to preserve them. I don't know what part of the world they were in. But very soon after that, a few weeks after that, word got back that at that same time, what would have been the middle of the night here in the United Kingdom, there was a lady missionary, and some native came, and they were saying that there was something wrong with someone at their where they lived, and would she come immediately and help? And she offered to do that. But then whenever she was going to that place, the person who came to her had it in mind to harm her. And in a most remarkable way, the Lord intervened and he was unable to harm her. Was that not the Lord prompting somebody to pray for a need? The Lord could look after her, but brethren and sisters, the Lord wants us to pray. This morning I want to look with you just at those words, and this is the title really, David Sat Before the Lord. David sat before the Lord. I trust that we will feel a degree of burden and motivation as he did here when Nathan was talking to him. And we know the Lord's ready to help. We'll remember he was with us last year. We'll acknowledge that we have his promises to hold on to. And we will sit before him this year. David sat before the Lord. I want to say here that as he sits before the Lord, David acknowledges God's favor and might. You see what he says there in verse 16. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? He's there at the Lord's feet, and he's there very humbly, brethren. He's there in spite of the fact that he's in a position that probably some are jealous of, and they envy him. But he is looking beyond all of that, and he's seeing his own worthlessness without the Lord and recognizing that he knows God's favor now in all that God has done for him, and he has seen and has been promised God's might. Now, over in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 10, you have the situation there where we have Martha and Mary, the two sisters, and they are friends of the Lord. And it says in verse 14, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. It means that she was drawn about or distracted. There's not one thing wrong with the fact that she was working hard. Not a thing wrong with that at all. There were things that she had to do. And I have no doubt that while she was unhappy with Mary, and Martha, who was cumbered, said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? She didn't get beyond recognizing that the work needed to be done, but Mary was at the Lord's feet. Says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at Jesus' feet with all that had to be done, folks. She was just like David. She recognized that they were in a favorable position, the Lord drawing near. And if anything was to be done that would tell for the Lord, then there would have to be the Lord that would do it. And Mary here, she was there. Jesus said there in verse 42, but one thing is needful. It says here, one thing is needful, And Mary hath chosen that good part, but shall not be taken away from her. Brothers and sisters, every time you sit before the Lord in 2023, you're choosing the good part, and it will not be taken away from you. It will not be in vain. Young mother, you might do that in the kitchen when you get the chance. Some elderly person, and there are some who can't get out to the meetings, may do it just where they are. God willing, many of us will do it in church, but wherever it is, there is that coming and sitting before the Lord. And folks, all around us, and I've mentioned that, I think I should mention to you just the great need that there is there with works now in Kenya and Uganda and Liberia, India, Spain, also in Nepal and Pakistan, there's an interest there, and in the Philippines as well, and in Mexico. And in all of these places, some of them are actually dangerous situations. If people are week in, week out, and they're serving the Lord, and they need me and you to sit before the Lord for them. But I've mentioned all the other things where we need the Lord as well, because what he sits here is acknowledging the favor and the might of the Lord. There are people, many of them, involved in the mission field and in the Lord's work in general, and they could have been doing very well at other things. Whether it was business or anything else, they could have been doing very well. But certainly for some of the missionaries in their positions, it seems that a lot of the time nobody really wants to know about them out there. And it's hard. Remember, and I'm trying not to deviate too much here, remember as a very just saved young Christian that time, the Reverend John Hanna was in Spain, or he hadn't been very, just a few years in Spain, but I remember him coming to the prayer meeting to do a deputation meeting, and remember thinking, you know, that is just so hard. How it had been year in, year out, the hardness, and also Margaret Russell coming along and even saying to us in Dungannon in the prayer meeting, you know, we really thought that we would have had registration for the churches by now. People were praying for that, and kind of, and it hadn't happened at that stage. And it was so hard. And you thought, well, there's a lady who was a specialist nurse of some kind, destined to be a really notable person in the medical world, and she gave it up to go to Kenya. Now she hasn't got registration for the churches, problems all around her and difficulties, and there she is. Why? Because she knows about God's favor and his might. And John Hanna, in subsequent years, things did change, and they changed in Kenya too. Now, of course, there are ups and downs, but generally speaking, they can both trace the hand of the Lord in favor and might all over the years. Why? Because people sat before the Lord. They sat before the Lord. In John 15, we are reminded, in the words of the Lord himself, without me you can do nothing. Those good words. But with him we can do everything. And the Lord, I want to say for you this year, and we must make it personal as well. Here we have David, and as he sits before the Lord, surely he's in submission to God's authority. Who am I? Who am I, Lord God? And what is mine house? Who are my family? We're just nobodies. He's committing himself here to the Lord's authority, and that's what all our missionaries do, and that's what we need to do. The world will have you waste your time this year. Fiddle about. Spend my time running after what I want. But there's great blessing in submitting to God's authority, as David did, as Mary did, we know, and as our missionaries have, folks. Submitting to his authority, and his authority would have us to live for him. But what about making a way? David needed the Lord to make a way for him, because he had many difficulties and many circumstances ahead that he had to do. He says to the Lord there, even in verse 17, and yet this was a small thing in thine eyes. In other words, it was nothing to thee, Lord. It was nothing to thee. And he's looking to the Lord to make a way for him. That leads us to think of something else, and that is fruitfulness. David wanted to see fruitfulness for the Lord, and so it is with every Christian, surely. that we want to be fruitful for the Lord. But what does that mean? Does that mean that you can say, well, I'm like Billy Sunday, I've won 1 million souls to the Lord? No, it doesn't. You could be like Jeremiah, and you could preach for 50 years, you mightn't win any to the Lord. If the Lord gives you a Jeremiah work to do, wherever you are, then you embrace that and be thankful for it. But what is fruit? Well, there's the fruit of commitment to the work. David was able to dedicate himself to the Lord. The fruit of commitment is important, and that is a difficulty right across the evangelical world today. The fruit of comradeship. Good to get on with each other, to be pleasant one to another. That is so important on the mission field. Very often when people went out to the mission field and they went to a little camp or whatever you want to call it, and there's missionaries, some from America, some from Canada, you had some there maybe from the Netherlands, some from the United Kingdom altogether. Sometimes it wasn't going to work on the field. It wasn't going to work. Very many times it does, because people are able to look beyond themselves and think, well, she's not perfect, but neither am I. We'll get on with it. That comradeship is so important. You take us this past week, ministers, I don't know how many, and some from America, some from the mainland, and all so different. So different. And yet that comradeship was there. So important. The fruit of commitment, the fruit of comradeship, the fruit of compassion. Let us never lose sight of the fact that men and women around us are perishing every day. Every day going out into a lost eternity, and we need to have compassion for soul. What about the fruit of personal marks of grace? Personal marks of grace. I don't know how many people I know, and some of them are here, and they're quiet people, maybe even shy, but they're nice manners, and they're pleasant way with them, and their way of talking even to other people, it's not lost on people, and they notice that. Personal marks of grace, and how that preaches a sermon in itself. Let's ask the Lord as we sit before him, let's give ourselves to his authority, ask him to make a way for his work generally, ask him for this fruitfulness that we've mentioned, but then his overruling. I'll not take time to turn to Acts 16 where Paul was looking, things were going really well, it seemed, and he naturally wanted to go. It says, now they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Asia was in desperate need of the word. Desperate need. It says, but they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. And then they wanted to go into Bithynia in verse 7 of Acts 16. And it says here that the Spirit suffered them not. I mean, he's probably taking a step back and thinking, what's going on, Lord? We're trying to do this the best we can. What's happening now? Well, it makes it very clear here that it wasn't the Lord's will at that time. Now, if you read from verse 9 about Macedonia, you'll see that the Lord had a door. There's a great work to be done. And this, I thought, was important to turn to regarding our missionary effort. The Lord always gives us a heart for our missionary work because it is so important. Sometimes, when there appeared to be a door opening for our denomination, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. On other occasions, and Uganda is a classic example where we had never thought, really, you know, not only did a door open, but we were handed a work, the school and the church and people, and the whole lot was just handed to the free church. Amazing thing. You see, the Lord was overruling, and he still overrules in his work. You might remember efforts in Pakistan at the minute and in Mexico as well. Now, I was speaking to my brother-in-law and the Reverend David Smith were in Nepal recently, and while things have changed greatly in Nepal, there's still a great work going on, and the Lord is still moving in Nepal. He's still overruling. And folks, you think of David. David sat before the Lord. He sat before the Lord, acknowledging God's favor and might. And if you think of everything that I've said so far, can we not say, and all the missionaries with us, who am I, Lord? Who am I? We have to acknowledge his favor and his might. But there's not just acknowledging God's favor and might. You will look again at verse 17. There was expectation. David knew that he wasn't finished yet. He said, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, on who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? In other words, you've been so good. And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Lord, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Now, if you look at the verses we read earlier, we did touch on some of them about how his son Solomon would establish the worship and build the Lord's house, and that was the case there. Whether you're looking at David here or looking at Mary over there in Luke's gospel, they expected something to happen when they waited before the Lord, when they sat before the Lord. They didn't do it just to pass an hour. And neither of them, folks, and you study, I'm sure you know something, certainly most people know quite a bit about David's life. Study his life. Oh, he wasn't without his struggles, but David was never the same again. Neither was Mary when they sat before the Lord. And again, this past week, we were there every day. You had a couple of hymns when they started at 10, a couple of hymns there. And then we had a minister preaching, say 35 minutes or whatever, thereabouts. And then from there on round to 1 o'clock was just praying. Then you had a similar pattern in the afternoon. And so it was each day. And we didn't do it to pass the time. I've hopefully always been honest with you. And I've said that sometimes if it's very, very warm, which it was one day in particular, we stand up. Not everybody, but some people stand up so that you don't get dozy. We all know what it's like to get dozy when we're praying. Well, you stand up, because you go to doze, you'll fall over. And then everybody else will know you were sleeping as well. But we're there, folks, because we expect something to happen. We expect the Lord to meet with us, but we expect him to work in, to move in his work. And the very important thing to notice here is, whether it is Mary at the feet of Jesus or David sat before the Lord, when you're down at his feet, you're looking up into his face. You're looking into his face. And it'd be very easy, I'm sure, for you to find fault with not just me, and I'm sure you can, but with every minister and with every person. We look to him. Focus upon him. It says there in the Psalm 34 in the verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces was not ashamed. I've mentioned to you before that the word lightened there means became bright, as an expression used to mention the rising of the sun in the morning, to describe the rising. You go out in an old dark morning there, and then the sun begins to rise, and the picture changes very, very quickly. That's what we have here. They became lightened. It wasn't by looking unto the psalmist, and not by looking to me, that's for sure. But let's look to him. And when we're sitting there before him, we're looking up into his face. Over there in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We're looking in his face, and in that way we are changed into his image. Don't waste your time, and I trust I'll not waste mine, trying to find an accommodation with the world. Now, we're not aliens, and there's, as I've often said, and I'll say it again and again and again, the Lord has given us things we can enjoy. You've got your sport, pastime, you need to have that. But we don't live our entire life in a pastime or our sport or anything else. Rather, we take that time to sit before him, and we want to be changed, not into the image of the world, because they'll end up kicking you in the teeth and making a fool out of you, but changed into his image, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Teachable spirit is indispensable. If I haven't got a teachable spirit, it won't matter what I listen to or what I read. If I'm not willing to be taught, then nothing's going to change. But David here, there was expectancy in his heart. He knew that the Lord had done so much. He was able to do so much more. And he says there, it's for spoken of my thy servant's house for a great while to come. I know I speak for people here who are connected with children. And you know that you would love revival in your day, but you'd rather have it in their day for them because you love them. And you want that better day, and the Lord knows we need a better day. We need a better day. But when we get before the Lord at home or in the prayer meetings, sit before the Lord, if we can do so with an expectant heart, so much better. So much better. Expect the Lord to move. And use those who are actually closely involved here in the children's work, expect the Lord to move. I know that all over the years you have done that and the Lord has moved. And we want to continue that. Expect the Lord to bless you in fellowship here in the general meetings. But there is not just expectation. I'm going to just mention this. There was actually close communion here. It says in verse 20, O Lord, there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. All that we have heard with our ears. And the thought there is not just of hearing something as hearsay, but your heart being spoken to. Your heart being spoken to. It refers to the communion that they had with the Lord. And when that happens for you and I, that close communion, for David, for Mary, for our missionaries, it warms your heart. Nothing else can do it. It warms our heart to know that we're not forsaken by him. It gives us an increased burden for the work of the Lord. And we learn to lean upon his word as we trust him and see his promises fulfilled. We have another thought here, and I just leave it with you as we close, and that is assistance. David knew here, and you can read the rest of the verses there and many others too, and you'll see that the Lord was not leading to this point to just leave him by himself. Thou hast spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and has regarded me according to the state of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honour of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness. Yes, it encouraged David, but God did it for his own glory. And therefore he would assist him. And while the Lord can encourage us, what he does in his work, whether it's in Achillea or in some big congregation or in the mission field or in the mainland, whatever he does there, he will give assistance because it's for his own glory. I hope the Lord will help us all to remember here that David, in thankfulness and in recognition of all that the Lord had done and all that the need that there still was, that King David came and sat before the Lord.